Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Who... Oh, no, that's your line.
What? Oh, we, you can introduce it, Mike.
Here we go. Howdy, howdy, folks. Welcome back to Hoot and a Half. I'm your host, Mike Sheffer, here with my co-host, Matt King, the half and the Hoot and a Half, for those asking all these years. Big reveal. Turns out Matt's the half, I'm the Hoot.
And you're wearing the sweatshirt for the people listening today. Mike is rocking the OG merch,
this
the very
was our,
first.
Yeah,
first and only merch run.
First and only. Do you think we'll ever do it again?
Maybe. I feel like Good Influences merch is probably a more realistic.
I think so, too.
Good Influences merch. Maybe.
We had some designs, and then I feel like it never, like, happened.
Yeah.
Well, like, I had the designs ready. I just thought we were going to have, like, meetings with the merch people. Merch gets so complicated, though.
I know.
Because, like, all you truly want is just good quality assurance, is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, people are getting the right products. And I've just hear nightmare stories after nightmare stories of influencers who start merch, people get, like, a poorer quality than the samples that were sent to the influencer originally.
Yes.
On what it was.
Yes.
But,
and do you think people are still buying merch? It's not like 2018 anymore, you know?
I know. I feel like, and honestly, our audience has, like, grown up a bit, and they're, I think, a little bit more budget conscious. Like,
yes.
They're students. They're spending, like, their money and
it
stuff.
It used to be, I feel like, high school kids using their parents' credit cards to buy merch, and now it's like they're in college or post-college, and they're trying to save their money.
When you were younger, was there ever, like, a merch of, like, a band or anything?
Every band.
Every band you wanted the merch?
Any show I went to, I would get the poster and a t-shirt from the concert.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, posters were very big in, like, the rock indie scene in the 2000s.
They still are. There's huge poster heads out there.
Because, like, they will hire a professional artist, make, like, a certain run. Sometimes, like, the Mars Volta would make a custom poster for every single show.
Vampire Weekend is the same
so
as well.
So it's like if you're at the Austin show, you get 1 out of 100, and that poster then is...
Yeah.
Print forever.
I mean, I respect people who, like, collect posters, but, like, I'm very, like, where are you going to put it?
I know.
You have to have, like, a really dedicated space. Your spouse or your significant other also needs to be down with that.
They're
as
usually
well.
Usually not that, like, I don't know, home decor friendly. It's usually a lot of black,
yeah,
a lot of, like, weird shapes.
It's also very, like, based in the time. Like, some posters are scream just, like, the indie age of, like, the early 2010s and stuff. And it's not necessarily the most, like, cohesive kind of collection you can have displaying on your wall. But my cousin has actually one of the most badass collections
of posters.
Yes. Like, when you go in, it's like, oh my gosh, you have this, you have this. But there was never, like, merch for a band that I would get at shows, but I was a big Hot Topic kid.
Ugh.
So usually if
just
I was
a big wall
and you would just have to, like, crank your neck all the way up to look at anything that was on there.
There was one Black Friday. I went to Hot Topic and I bought, like, 8 band shirts, and I was like, this was in high school. And I was like, this is my wardrobe. I'm just wearing a different band shirt every day. And then after, like, the second day, some girl was like, why do you just keep wearing band shirts? And I was like, well,
never again.
I gave them all away to Goodwill.
Do you collect, like, wristbands from, like, concerts or festivals or ticket stubs?
No,
anything,
but Sam,
like that?
Sam did that. Remember for South By?
Yeah. Oh.
Every party you go to at South By Southwest, and then he would leave them on.
Oh, if you're, like, keeping a paper wristband on your wrist, that's got to go.
No.
In college, though, I would keep all of the wristbands from parties that I would go to, like, frat parties and, like, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them in a bag. Because I wasn't invited to, like, every party, but I would, like, eyeball ahead of time what the wristbands were. And sure enough, I maybe would have a solid red wristband, a solid blue one.
Oh, yeah.
So you would kind of just, like, staple it.
Get a quick run to the CVS or the Rite Aid and buy the appropriate color wristband. Yeah. It used to be way easier to scam stuff. Now things are much more difficult.
Oh, yeah, dude. I'd love to get doing all the different scams to get into joints and stuff.
Social engineering.
Did you ever do the scam? Well, before you were 21, this is how it was in Texas. You could go into bars, but you couldn't order anything.
Depends on the venue.
But the way that they would mark you as being under 21.
They would put an X on your hand.
Sharpie, X's on your hand. Which is such a silly thing. I just feel like you shouldn't be able to go in, you shouldn't be allowed to go into a bar if you're.
But if it's like a bar, restaurant, or a music venue, excuse me, or a place that just people are hanging out that serves drinks, they want the money from the kids who are going to maybe buy food or buy other drinks.
True.
But the idea of marking the X, the hack is you bring a little bit of hand sanitizer.
Chapstick is what we did. We would
put the chapstick
before it, and that would create this little barrier, and then it would wipe right off.
Pretty freaking brilliant.
Pretty freaking cool.
The other thing, I don't know if you ever had a stamp, like a when you had to pay a cover charge to go to a bar.
Yeah.
You get one friend to get the stamp. He pays the cover charge, and then you go, and you like re-wet it, and then you can re-stamp your friend in the bathroom right there, and then you
get your friend tickets. Get into the bathroom if they didn't pay the cover charge?
Or not the bathroom, sorry. They would walk right back outside and be like, oh, actually, I left something in my car. I'll be right back. And then you and your buddy stamp each other around the corner, boom. And then you both walk back in with the stamp.
Okay.
Saved. Saved tens of dollars.
Where's the limit of you drawing the line on a cover charge to get into somewhere? I feel like you'd be you would be like,
happened like 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago. Remember we went to Tenants and they were like $50 per person?
That's ridiculous.
And you don't have the right shoes and you had to go to someone's house and get shoes or shorts.
Yes, but they don't do a cover charge. They make you like sign up for your own mini like bar tab that you have to fulfill. Like if you go in, you have to spend $100.
Yes, that's what they wanted. $50 paid up front for the bar tab.
But you know what? I also feel like they don't do that.
No, they
like,
don't.
One, they don't check it. Two, you don't have to fulfill it.
No.
They just do it as a way of like, I don't know, scaring you into it.
Yeah, it was, I can't remember whose birthday it was, but we were the last ones in. We just didn't get in with the rest of the group because we were a little late. You were wearing shorts, right?
I was wearing open-toed shoes.
That's what it was.
And which said, I thought was a little sexist.
Okay.
Like women can wear the open-toed shoes, but God can forbid they? A man. Yes, women could wear an open-toed shoe and go into a.
And no hats too, right? At Tenants?
You can wear hats at Tenants. Sorry, we're talking very locally here. But you cannot have a team logo. It can't represent like an organization for.
Okay.
I don't know if they view that as.
That's kind of like when you go and vote, you can't wear any like election related
material. Oh, you really can't wear who you're voting for?
No,
campaigning.
That's technically like I wore a Bernie Sanders shirt when I voted here in 2020. And the woman was like, listen, you can't come in here with that. And I was like, what are you talking about? She said, that's an electioneering law where you can't have any sort of election related material. So I went to my car, put on a hoodie, zipped it up, and then I was able to vote.
Could you wear a Make America Great Again hat?
No.
But what if it was a bejeweled one that didn't even say Donald Trump?
It's a legally dubious question. But anyway, the idea of paying a cover charge in this day and age, especially to go to like a bar that's I've been to many times that I haven't paid before. No, I'm not going to go. Like, what am I missing?
For me, it's total peer pressure. Well, $50, that has to be an event, and we're staying there the entire time.
Yeah,
like,
this was
$50
second...
cover charge if it's New Year's Eve, and that's the thing to...
That's more of like a ticket than a cover charge, I feel like.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. It has to be total peer pressure based on everybody.
If you're like, going to see your friend's band, and it's like, oh, $12, $15, that's a cover charge.
Can we skirt back to graphic tees?
We could skirt. hold on.
Wait, I wanted to say The Wizard of Oz... was actually the pioneer in an article of clothing that everybody knows and has to this day.
Red ruby shoes.
It's not red ruby shoes. No, everybody has. It's one of the most common things ever.
In the original Wizard of Oz, there's a piece of clothing that is now ubiquitous.
And it was the first recorded piece of this type of clothing ever in history.
No idea.
The graphic tee.
The graphic tee.
The graphic tee, Mike, the Wizard of Oz, is believed to be the origin and the birth of introducing the world to the graphic tee.
Who was wearing it and what was
on
it?
So it's only in really a 10-second clip, and it's when, you know, Dorothy the Lion and the Scarecrow and the Tin Man arrive to Oz.
Okay.
And they're with the wizard, and they're, like, putting the Scarecrow back together. They're stuffing him with hay or whatever is... You put in the Scarecrow.
Yeah.
And the guys working at Oz have these shirts that say Oz on it. Green shirts.
Interesting.
And no other time has the graphic tee been recorded or seen.
What year did this come out? 1938?
I think 1939, I want to say. But then the next time that the graphic tee really became very popular, do you want to guess this one?
The next time after that. Oh, God. Can you give me the year and then I can guess what movie it was?
Let's just say it was a pretty historical thing that happened globally that after the time period of when Wizard of Oz came out.
So it was after World War II?
No, it was during World War II. It is because of World War II.
Was it Casablanca?
No, it's the Army shirt.
The one that says U.S. Army on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just a ARMY.
What movie that showed one, that? What,
no, it's not about movies. They gave Army t-shirts to people who were in the military, in the Army. And those men would wear those shirts post-war or whatever as almost like a souvenir that they were in the Army. So that was like the big introduction of graphic tees. And then obviously 60s and 70s completely brought it to the mainframe. But it's Wizard of Oz, World War II, Army shirts, and then 60s, 70s, massive graphic tees.
So 1937, no letters on any t-shirts.
No, unless it was like embroidered like name tag, but probably, you know.
An emblem of some sort.
On like a pocket of a old-fashioned collared shirt. But pretty wild that like a graphic tee did not exist up until that moment in time.
Yeah.
I always think it's really fascinating people who are like, hunters of finding the first origin of something that ever existed.
Yes.
That's like a really cool path to like go down.
The first editions of things.
Yes. Like there was, you know, the universal S symbol that we all drew in our notebooks where 100%. You did the three lines, you connected them diagonally, and you had this
block letter.
Awful looking S, but yeah. Every kid in the 90s, 2000s was putting in their notebook, and somebody on YouTube, I'm pretty sure you can just go like the Universal S Symbol documentary, went to try to figure out where that symbol came from. And
I think I've heard about this. Did they end up finding it?
Or they did. There was a photo. So, you know, back in the day in like New York when it was like graffiti everywhere, like on the subways, it was completely covered in it. It was like the dirtiest New York had ever been. It was apparently a viral tag that you could do back then
and that's how people found it?
Yeah, that's the first documentation is a photograph of a graffiti symbol in like...
But we don't know who it was.
We don't know who it was. Yeah. I don't think so. Maybe the documentary touches on that, but it's pretty cool.
But nowadays with like, I feel like social media, TikTok, we can so easily find the origin of... like worldwide global trends.
Oh,
like,
yeah, completely.
We're guys. Of course we're going to blah, blah, blah. That's like a thing now. That's just like a kid that we know, right? That's Brandon Cohen. Like he made that. There was in a Super Bowl commercial. So now culture is like, we can know everything all the time.
It's got to feel really good when you originated something that like was a cultural staple of the time. Like when Nicoletti did Sudude, like him and Getter, like that went...
Dude,
global.
I was saying that back in New Jersey when I was still like that came out what 12 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's got to feel pretty really good.
Dude.
Then there's like ones that you know have been
carne asada.
Oh yeah, a carne asada. There's so many different versions of it, but I'm also fascinated by ones that are like, you know, playground sayings and jingles and stuff that get spread.
Marilyn Manson rib rumor.
What?
Marilyn Manson.
Oh, Marilyn Manson, how he had a rib removed so he was able to auto fellatio himself.
1998, pre-internet, every single kid in a high school, in a elementary school playground.
Also, Richard Gere and the gerbil. Yes. And people also say Sylvester Stallone actually started that rumor, and him have like beef about it.
I do wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, you remember they used to have those like Weekly Inquirer magazines at the
National Enquirer.
Yeah. And it would be like, oh, late
Bat Boy discovered. Yeah.
Lady gives birth to alien son.
Yeah. Like, Octo Mom. Like her
maybe
son,
or
like,
Michael Jackson revived from the dead. Or I guess he was alive.
Or Elvis Presley is still alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where those rumors started. And people were just that got distributed into every local grocery store. Maybe that's the answer.
Maybe that could be. Probably where it started. And then Jingle Bells, Jingle Bell, Batman Smells, Robin laid an egg.
The Batmobile lost its wheel and the Joker does ballet.
The Joker does ballet?
What do you got?
The Joker ran away.
Oh, no, Joker does ballet.
Whoa. See, that's another one where a bunch of different people have these different variations of.
You know the Addams Family one?
The
Addams Family started when Uncle Fester farted, and that's why they are.
Oh, now
we
I
don't
got
say it.
It
anymore. But that was a big one.
Wow, no, I didn't know that one.
That was a big one on the high school playground.
Oh, I'm trying to think
not
about
high school. Jesus,
the like high school playground,
like third grade.
Did you guys have a playground though at your middle school?
Well, oh yeah,
ours was like an athletic playground.
Where monkey like, bar, like an Al Qaeda training camp, like monkey bars and ropes. And
monkey bars, ropes, pull up bars. It was this like training playground, but we didn't have a play.
No, we had like a big field basketball court outdoors and like a jungle gym of sorts, but it was mostly playing football and basketball.
Okay. Tetherball?
No tetherball. That's like Napoleon Dynamite. Did people actually play that?
Yeah. Dude, we played tetherball all the time.
Who's we? Isn't it a one-person sport?
It's a two-person sport.
I don't even know how it works, honestly.
Yeah,
tetherball?
Tetherball. All I did in elementary school was play tetherball at recess.
That's not a special needs game?
I don't think so. I would play it with disabled kids, of course. Mm-hmm. We were fully immersive.
Likewise, I will
academy.
Say that was a good... I don't know if they're still doing that in high school. Like, we had really a lot of integration with, like, all the different...
Yeah, full immersion.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. Yeah. Don't you think so? Or wait, do you think a kid with disability should be in a fully functioning, like... Or,
I think like, they mix it up where it's like half the day they're with...
Yes, they're like the applied academics education. Group. That's what they called it in our school.
Academics.
Applied academics. It wasn't called special education.
Right. Yeah.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Diet Smoke. Hey, Hoot and Half listeners, Black Friday and Cyber Monday are here, and Diet Smoke has incredible deals just for you. Introducing their brand new Blue Dream Gummies, crafted to deliver an uplifting, perfectly balanced buzz with every bite. Diet Smoke's award-winning gummies are your ultimate solution for a smooth and controlled THC experience. Replace that evening glass of wine, unwind naturally, or enjoy a mellow high to help you through the holiday season. Diet Smoke has got you covered. Here's why you'll love them. Brand new Blue Dream gummies with a sweet berry flavor and uplifting effects. These gummies are perfect for the holidays. Guarantee. If you're not happy, they'll replace or refund it guaranteed. Super fast shipping and nationwide delivery. Get your gummies fast anywhere in the U.S. So exclusively for Hoot and a Half listeners to celebrate Black Friday and Cyber Monday, enjoy a $50 welcome gift plus 20% off your entire order. Head to www.dietsmoke.com and use code promo HOOT, H-O-O-T, at checkout. Don't wait. Treat yourself to a balanced vibe this holiday season. Visit www.dietsmoke.com. Use promo code HOOT and get your exclusive $50 gift and 20% off. Diet Smoke, your beautifully balanced cannabis experience. Now better than ever. But Foursquare. Did you play Foursquare?
No.
Wall ball?
We called it volleyball, and it might be a little different.
You bounce the ball.
It was volleyball. We played volleyball, but you used the back walls of the gym that counted. So the biggest kid would always slam the ball. It would hit the back of the other wall and you had to turn around.
What kind of tiny gym are you in?
It was like a basketball court that we turned into a volleyball court. I think our school might have invented it, volleyball, and then it went all over New Jersey and we had like one of the best volleyball teams. It's a really fun thing to do.
Okay.
Yeah, volleyball. Wall ball?
Wall ball.
Handball?
You would throw the ball at the wall.
Yeah.
And then if somebody caught it with their one hand, you would have to run to the wall before they hit you with the ball.
Something I kind of remember that. It was a lot of like panic and anxiety in those games. You're just like got to be on
you're
edge.
Running full sprint at a wall. like hopefully your teeth do not get smashed in.
Yeah. Running bases, was that a game you had?
We would do flashcard baseball.
No, that's not
what?
Running
did you
bases,
do flashcard baseball?
Running bases is you just get two people on either side and you have one kid in the middle that like was like the loser and you got to try and throw the ball to the other side and you have to try and
it's like
run.
Like pickle, like you're in a pickle in baseball,
yeah,
but you're just
of.
Playing that like as
yeah,
one
Yeah, we
singular
call that running
game.
Bases.
Okay.
I don't know.
I feel like I've heard running bases. And like a song lyric.
What are these duck shoes you got?
Oh, they are bean boots.
Bean boots?
Made by LL Bean. Bean boots,
it
says
it
on the heel.
Oh, they're made by LL Beans.
They're timeless shoes, man.
Are they?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, when you buy a pair of bean boots, you're never going to get rid of a pair of bean boots. LL Bean boots are like made to stand the test of time.
Are they easy to put on and take off?
Yeah, because they got like this loop in the back.
But do you
got
to untie like three ropes of three layers of stuff here?
No, just right there at the top and just take it off. Do you like them?
Kind of.
Thank you. But the best effect is when you got to roll your pants up a little bit, because if you have it go all the way down, it's kind of like...
But I feel like it's not raining, so what's the...
It's fall. It's nearly winter, too, as well, Mike.
Yeah, but like we're in Los Angeles, it's like 75 degrees outside.
Okay. Okay, but the reason why I bought them because I'm going to Michigan for Thanksgiving and I wanted to break in these boots.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
So I'm wearing them to break them in.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. You solved your raccoon crisis?
Oh gosh, I did.
Have you talked about this elsewhere?
I talked about this on Unfiltered for a little bit.
Well,
who do not know,
yeah.
This was about a week ago. On Sunday, I came in. I smelled something sour up in the house. Actually, it was Friday or Saturday when I was smelling something sour.
Yeah.
And Patricia had just bought incense, some big fancy incense from some store in Beverly Hills. And I'm not a fan of incense, Mike. Are you?
Kind of, sometimes. Depends on the incense.
Makes everything smell like a weed shop or like a head shop, like a place where you go buy pipes.
It depends on I don't like sage, burning sage, that smell.
No.
That smells like...
I think you burn sage just one time for ritualistic purposes.
But then the smell lingers and it's like a...
But I just think it's just something is burning and it's just ash. Like it doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't smell.
I have a good incense at my house. Maybe you'll have to give it a whiff and see if you like it.
I'll check it out. But Patricia had it. So I thought it was maybe this. And then I was like, do you smell something bad? And she goes, what? You think it's the incense? And I'm like, no, I think something is something smells bad. And we looked in all of our trash. We went through our refrigerator. We kept thinking somebody maybe spilt milk somewhere in the corner of the house. And we completely forgot about it. Looked at every nook and cranny. She still thinks I'm overreacting. I'm still something smells bad.
Yeah.
Second day, she starts smelling it. And we're like, what could it be? And now the smell had finally switched from a garbagey, food rotten smell to something
has passed away.
Dead.
Yeah.
Is dead. And we had this whole issue about there's been a squirrel nesting in the roof of our house.
And how do you know this?
In our attic. Because I can hear it pitter patter around all the time. And there's a vent right underneath our front eave that I believe that the squirrel can climb the tree and enter it.
Yeah.
And I've been conflicted about, I need to get that patched up. But then I was worried, what if it's patched up?
And
I trap
in
the squirrel and it dies. So then I think it's immediately the squirrel. Something is rotting in our ceiling. Like a day or two go by knowing this. And that was driving me insane.
That's horrific.
Knowing that something is actively rotting in your home.
Do you smell it in your bedroom too?
The last day I could start smelling it
in the
bedroom.
It was growing stronger every day.
Yes.
Like a superhero.
It's so weird, the smell of an animal rotting though.
I think it's biological to us. It's because we don't want to eat. We've been conditioned to not want to eat rotten.
It's unmistakable.
Oh yeah, it
is. This is a little dark.
It's all right.
So the way a raccoon smells when it's, what do humans smell like?
I don't know.
Dude, does it
it's probably
smell
really bad.
I bet it smells pretty close to what an animal
probably
smells like.
Yeah, not great.
No. So, thought it was the squirrel. Finally got the animal control guy to come out.
How did you get the phone number for animal control?
Through our landlord contacted.
You called the landlord.
We told the landlord. And we were this is urgent. We really need to get this removed today.
Yes, yes.
The guy came. He was it's actually down in the crawl space. And it smells like a few are dead. And we're like, what? And he says rats. And we're like, oh boy, oh gosh. Also, mad respect to anybody who is.
Yeah, that's a tough gig.
Of course. Oh my gosh. You have to go dig into crawl spaces, sniffing out what it is and then picking that up. Oh my gosh.
What kind of guy? Funny guy? Serious guy? Old, young?
Smiley guy. Smiley guy. Smiley guy, bit of a language barrier.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that. But he told me that that it was rats.
Okay.
Or it was a rat. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you so much, blah, 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 blah. We message our landlord, say.
Wait, so did he go into the crawl space and do?
Yes.
He
but I didn't watch it. I didn't want to watch it.
Okay.
I was just like, I'll get
But
you
he
your
said,
space.
All right, all clear. I got it out.
Yeah. And I go, the roof? And he goes, nothing in the roof.
Did he even look?
I don't know. I think he did. But I need to also let the landlord know. We got to patch that up. Anyways, he said, rat. And I was like, awesome. Thank you so much. We tell our landlord it was a rat. The landlord goes, it wasn't a rat. It was a raccoon. It was a raccoon. It was a full raccoon. It wasn't a rat.
Oh, so that was where the language barrier?
That's where the language barrier was.
And so she found out it was a raccoon.
Yes, because I think he was able to fully type it out to her and translate everything to him. But yeah.
Did the smell go away instantly?
He put lye in it.
Okay.
And it was still kind of there, and then it went away, and now we don't smell it anymore.
Oh, God. That would be... That's absolutely. A movable offense. If your house just smells like a rotting carcass for a month.
Thank goodness we were home for this. Can you imagine we were gone for Thanksgiving?
Your whole house would be, you probably need to repaint.
Oh yeah. I would have to go stay at a friend's house or something.
Yeah.
Just to, but apparently you know, rigor mortis, the process of it eventually can get to a point where then you don't smell it anymore at all. Because it's like fully
digested.
Yeah. Like there's nothing else to rot because it's completely rotted away, which is even grosser.
Well, are you going to do a patching? Are you going to patch it up before you go on Monday?
No.
Just put a little towel in there, at least something.
I can't get up. It's so complicated. I wish you got to see it in person and you'd be like, okay, that's a little difficult if you understood.
Okay.
How are things going on your own home front? Have we confronted your neighbor for the people who didn't listen to
this? Out, I think, before the Good Influences episode. So it's a little backwards, but on Good Influences, I talked about that my neighbor upstairs was playing drums, electric drums, till 2 a.m. And it kept me up and it was really frustrating. And I woke up with my jaws clenched and my fist clenched and I was just so angry. And I typed up the note. I put it in Comic Sans font, which when you're writing a note that you want to like communicate to somebody that is really, I don't know, I'm trying to be tactful. I'm trying to be nice. I went through a bunch of different fonts.
Comic Sans, Mike?
Matt, listen to me. I went through a bunch of different fonts, okay? Because
Windings or Fiesta or like.
I was just like. It was like a half a page and it was like, hi neighbor, I know
Papyrus.
I looked at Papyrus. It was too serious. Every font was just too serious.
You should have put lemon juice on it and like burnt the edges and like and then ironed it to make it like look like an old scroll treasure map.
Yeah. From Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah.
You should have cut up letters from a magazine and made it look like a ransom note.
I mean, I wanted
Comic Sans. I think if I got a note that was written in Comic Sans, well, I would immediately think, oh, this is a 65-year-old woman who is living below me.
Or just someone who's not that.
Or very uncool.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't need him to think I'm cool. I've already met him before, too. Although it is possible that I just wrote the note and I just said, your neighbor downstairs, Mike. I signed it as Mike. I don't know if he remembers that my name is Mike.
Signed it in pen or like?
No, I put it in an envelope. And then I was like, shit, what do I write on the outside of the envelope? Because I wasn't going to tape it to his door because I couldn't slide it in. Yeah. So I just wrote, please read. And then I was like, that's really ominous. Like,
please read. Yeah, if I don't know how, but my heart would sink if I came across an envelope.
Well, so then I wrote in parentheses, from your downstairs neighbor, Mike, and then a smiley face, which I don't know if that's even more scary.
That's like, nice. That's a nice little touch.
Yeah. So I put it up at like 6 p.m. I didn't really knock to like let him know that I left a note. So I don't know.
Tape it on the door, put it on.
I taped it onto the door.
Okay.
So I did go to bed. There was zero sounds at all last night. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I want to just, after this, I'm going to go and.
Could he numerically like figure out then which?
Yeah, it's very easy. Very it's like easy. The layout is the same. It's three floors and it's like pretty clear who's right below you. So I am hopeful that he got the message. I'm going to walk by today. And I'm just going to pretend I
go on his floor.
Yeah.
Okay.
How am I going to know if he got the letter or not?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good
I need
point.
To go back up there. I'm going to just casually walk by just in case he happens to open the door at that time. I'm going to have my hood up. I'm just going to like do a quick eye check. Hopefully the letter is gone and message has been received. And we'll see.
I think it's interesting how he's using his like primary bedroom as his drum set room.
I believe that the layout is different on the second floor than the first floor.
Oh,
because I'm right above the garage, and so they like where my room is
like adjusted.
Yeah, it's like everything's like moved over, basically a full room. So I think his living room is right above my bedroom.
Maybe he's just playing Rock Band.
Rock
Band. Yeah, those are some professional like sounds.
I could tell. I've played electric drums before. I know like
you know what a paradiddle is.
Yeah. It's unmistakable. And then so above as below, as they say, I move into this place. This is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? I will call it out of touch complaint.
Yeah.
I moved in. They're supposed to have EV chargers in the apartment. And when I viewed it, there was like 20 set up EV chargers ready to go in the garage. And they assigned me a parking space and I was like, I'll tell them I want an EV charger like in a week or two after I move in because I was dealing with so many different things, changing over the gas, right. The insurance, the electricity, whatever. So I move in, my parking space is not an EV spot. I'm like, I just want to see how this works. So I pulled my car in, tried to plug it in, nothing works. The screen just says, welcome, you tap it, I tap my card, it's dead. So I call up the people and I'm like, hey, I wanted to get an EV spot. And they're like, Oh yeah, the EVs are set. The EV chargers are set up, but we're waiting for final approval. It could take 6 months to a year for final approval to get approved. And I was like, yeah, exactly. I paid money to live into this apartment, and I'm paying extra for my EV spot, and the EV spot is not available. So I did this whole wild goose chase where I was like Googling my local representative in like the council, city council.
Yeah, you may have like a case to like, I don't know, at least reduce your rent because that's not the terms you agreed on. Mm-hmm. Unless, but it was EV disclosed in like
I have to check
the lease contract.
I don't want to, I just want to be able to charge my fucking car at home because it's a pain in the ass to have to drive to a supercharger every fucking week. It's not fun. But so I got bounced around through all the Democratic offices of California. Oh, yeah, that's not our jurisdiction. You're on the border of Nithya Ramans, whatever. So I finally get this woman, Geraldine, who sounded like she might be 85 years old.
Shout out to Geraldine.
So I had to explain to her how EVs work, what the car is, blah, blah, blah.
What is this?
Yeah, so I called her on Wednesday. She's like, I'm on the case. Call me back on Friday if you don't hear from me. So today's Friday. I'm going to give her a call after this.
She's probably having happy hour right now, having some Cosmos with Gertrude and Doris.
How well the wheels of justice in our democratic institutions turn for a concerned citizen.
How do you
citizen.
Find then like your proper person for your area?
I got it wrong. I just Googled who is my representative. California has a thing. I typed in my address, called the first office. They were like, no, you got to call the field office. Called the field office. No, that's not your jurisdiction. You need to talk to the councilman. Oh, you're talking to the wrong councilman's office. We'll send you. It was like 8 phone calls before I got
to
somebody.
How many other EV cars are in the garage, though?
Not a lot. There's like 4 or 5 other EVs. Oh. And like probably 50 regular cars.
You should leave a note on their cars. Be like, you want to join?
Form a union?
Let's riot. Yeah. Let's hit the streets.
I'm thinking about it. I think I might form a little like union.
This sounds
of,
very Seinfeld-esque, like what you're like.
I there's always some bullshit that I got to deal with. Like, I wish I could just.
Hey, Jerry, there's no EV spots in the garage.
So that's those are my big dramas in life. Thankfully, nothing too egregious, but that's where I saw the man in the robe because I had to charge my car at the place. So that's why I'm like,
oh, and then the man who shat the priest,
yes,
who was defecating himself,
insane
in public,
insane behavior.
Or was he a monk?
I don't know. He was somebody where he might have just been a crazy person wearing a robe, but he looked like he had a good haircut. He looked like you had somewhat of a skincare routine.
We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, Quit with Jones. I hate vaping. I've tried to quit more than once, and it's something I still struggle with, and you may be in the same boat. Quitting vaping is a journey that can feel like climbing a mountain without the right gear. That's where Jones comes in. Jones makes low-dose nicotine mints that are FDA approved, and I absolutely love them. Jones was started by two women who know the struggle firsthand. They tried quitting cold turkey countless times, but it never stuck. So they took matters into their own hands, creating the support they wish they had. And now they're sharing it with you. Jones offers holistic support to help you kick the habit, whether you're aiming to quit altogether, cut back, or just shift your mindset. Jones understands that quitting is a spectrum, and they meet you where you are. With FDA-approved nicotine mints, behavioral support, and a welcoming community, Jones is your partner in progress. 95% of people can't successfully quit cold turkey. You may be part of that 95%, and that's okay. It's tough out there. But with Jones, it's different. Their low-dose nicotine mints minimize withdrawal symptoms, making the journey smoother, and pair them with the Jones app for a winning combination. If you've done the routine of quitting on Monday and buying a new vape on Tuesday, it's time to make a change. And with Jones, it's a different story. Say goodbye to that cycle and hello to a healthier you. And let's talk about style. Jones comes in a discreet travel tin. I love the design, and you can take your Jones mints with you wherever you go. It makes things so easy. Ready to take the first step? Head to quitwithjones.com/hoot for 20% off your first order of nicotine mints. That is quitwithjones.com/hoot. quitwithjones.com/hoot for 20% off. I highly encourage you to try it out, and you'll thank me later. And now, back to the episode. Do you know much about the Dalai Lama?
Not really. I know that they are reincarnated.
Right.
And supposedly it's the same person, and he picks.
Aren't they like picked as a child too?
Yeah.
Like ahead of time, you go into a room and there's a bunch of objects.
Yes.
Like it might be, a little rattle. It might be a.
Like a knife, a scroll.
Knife, anything.
They did this on Lost too.
Oh, as a way of like.
There's like a person in Lost that they were trying to see if he was the the second coming of this other person, and they
that's
use
how they
the same,
know that you're the Dalai Lama. And then are you like the child? You're the new Dalai Lama, but you're a child for the rest of your life, or you wait until you're at a certain point?
It's when the Dalai Lama dies, then the then
do
the
a new
one.
Test for a new child.
No. They do the test. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly, but what I believe is the current guy who's alive is fine, but while he's alive, I think, or maybe it's after he dies.
He's
and
like
then
apprentices.
They do,
well, because the reason also why I brought this up, there is a kid, teenager,
yeah,
from Minnesota,
okay,
who is now like under the Dalai Lama's like
lineage,
protege. Like,
is he the next? He's gonna be the next one?
I guess so. Like, I was the when I watched this article and they're interviewing him, and the kid's just like, yeah, I've just been very passionate about like. You know, yeah. Are they Buddhist? Is it a Buddhist?
Maybe.
I don't know. Get it wrong on okay. What religious sect the Dalai Lama represents. But yeah. He's just this kid who really loved this manga called Buddha. And he did, I think, do the test or something when he was younger. And he's fluent in Tibetan. And I believe there's another language as well. But he's a total American kid who goes to school at a high school, but then has to go all the way out. Is it Tibet where the Dalai Lama is? And like... sit with him at the altar and do religious gigs with him. Pretty crazy.
And there was also some controversy where he like made out with a little kid or something.
Yeah, he like made like he like and the little kid like out. They touched tongues. Like he touched tongues with the kid. The Dalai Lama's I think kind of losing it.
I wish I looked into this more, but I don't remember. Did it come out that this was just like a cultural misalignment thing, and it's like non-sexual at all, and it really was just
it isn't. Very well. The Dalai Lama is supposed to be a very like childlike being and figure in like his frame and state of mind. Where
I also heard that a lot of people are like big haters of the Dalai Lama and that he's like problematic to the Tibetan community.
Oh, is he?
That he's like caught like prolonging some of their suffering by.
He could actually like end like, a lot yeah, of suffering he, if he wanted to, but he's not getting as politically involved as he should be.
This is like something I heard 8 years ago in New York City from a different Buddhist that I knew, and he was like, yeah, I got a lot of problems with Dalai Lama. And I was like, all right, maybe this guy's just like a New Yorker who's.
Yeah, maybe. Know. I know, I need to look into it more. I just thought it's just wild that there's this Minnesota kid who is like up
yeah,
in it now.
Gonna be the Dalai Lama?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Do you have a favorite amendment of the Constitution?
I would say,
how many do you know?
First is the freedom of speech.
Yep.
Second is obviously the right to bear arms. Third is you can't let troops stay in your house or something like that.
No quarter to enemies or something.
Or yeah, like troops don't have a right. Four is, oh my gosh, I used to know all of these because I had little mnemonic devices.
Yeah, quartering.
The search warrant is four, like, or something about search yep. and seizure.
Yep.
Five is.
I plead the fifth.
Plead the fifth. Six is the right to a speedy trial.
Yes.
Seven is, oh man, I don't know.
Rights in civil cases.
Oh, okay.
Eighth Amendment is.
Eight, is it have to? It doesn't have to deal with women.
Bail, fines, and punishment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, eight, because you're behind a gate, like, or like
oh,
a
jail.
Oh, that
was your mnemonic device?
Yeah.
Okay.
Six was like, the speedy trial was like, you better pick up those sticks. Like,
oh,
I don't
six,
know. Like,
quick, maybe. Like, yeah. Nine is rights retained by the people.
Oh, I don't know.
And then 10 is states' rights.
Okay.
How many are there? 27.
27.
You know what the most recent one was? 27?
What was it?
Congressional pay raises.
It like says that they have the right to get raises, like congressmen.
No law varying the compensation for the services of senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. I don't know what the fuck that means. Why do they write this?
Make
shit?
It simpler.
I know.
Make it simpler, people. And what year was that though? That it got added?
I don't know. May 1992.
Okay.
1971, 18th Amendment.
Right before
or
I was 26th born.
Amendment. The 26th Amendment, the right of citizens of the United States who are 18 years of age or older to vote shall not be denied. So that's when, damn, 1971 is when 18-year-olds were allowed to vote.
Oh, and before that, how old do you have to be?
I don't know. Maybe 21?
Wow.
Really? 21? 1971. We got to get another amendment on the books.
What do you think the new amendment should be, Mike?
Oh, that's a good question. probably something
that no congressperson can own any stock. Like
that could be, I mean, there's ways around that.
That's a little controversial. Like the
I would say more like a, maybe like a human rights one, like no, I don't know. It's just everybody should have every right to everything, like no matter what. Just make it fucking.
Just, yeah, big clarifier.
Yeah, just crystal fucking clear. Wow, damn. That was good that you know all the amendments. Do you have a favorite out of all of those?
I kind of like the right to a speedy trial.
That's a good one.
I don't know. That just someone has like the right to get a fair trial too.
Right.
A speedy and fair trial.
Unless you get called.
Even though it's still the judicial system needs a lot of reform completely. Yeah. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that one. What's your favorite one?
Probably the First Amendment.
Oh, yeah. The freedom of
speech. Also because it's the number one.
Do you feel like our freedom of speech is being threatened, Mike?
No. And I think that a lot of people just misunderstand what, like, Twitter is not anything to do with free speech. Like, the government, free speech is preventing the government from saying that you can't say something.
Okay.
And there are even limits within that. You can't, like, say I'm going to commit 9/11 and, like, get away with it. Like, yeah. That speech is, sure, it's free to say that, but there are, it's not consequence free speech.
Did you have a free speech zone on your college campus?
No,
you didn't?
No,
this is like most college campuses like have a free speech zone.
What does that even mean?
You can just go and like protest and get into debates with people, and it's just this like one area where you can just go and say like whatever you want.
I don't think we had that.
Oh.
I think anywhere is a free speech zone. That's the point of America.
Correct, but they do like allocate like spaces where you can go. Like sometimes at parks. Like there's certain parks and cities where, yeah, you go and it's just a bunch of dudes most of the time when I go, and they're all like filming each other and they're just like in these massive political debates. Like, there's one in London that I was like, it freaked me out when I walked by.
Yeah, it seems a little cringe, honestly.
Yeah, it just seems like really like hostile.
Or like those sovereign citizens in Oregon, you know about those guys?
Sovereign citizens.
Where they like, they don't, they reject their U.S. citizenship and they want to just like be in a police free zone. They don't pay taxes. They do their own policing. They do their own schools.
Oh boy.
It's like a lawless, it's like a hyper libertarian insanity. But anyway.
What other things that I want to talk about? Have you heard of like, this is not an ad. This is not an ad.
Okay.
The Kalishi app.
Is that the betting one?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, these are insane.
But they're what is wild, like, about it is that these, it's not, you know, we're betting on sports teams. We're betting on, like, pop culture stuff, too. Mm-hmm. Like, how many Grammys do you think Charlie XCX will win at the Grammys? Like, that stuff. Which one of these actresses will be nominated for an Oscar? Like, you can, like, make these bets right now.
Can you bet in the U.S.? I thought that some of this stuff is, like, not legal in the U.S.
I think you can do it in California. I was so surprised that any of this was legal.
I can't believe you could bet on the fucking presidential election.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem... It's not good. I think a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money.
Do you want to be curious? Are you some of these bets are?
Yeah.
Because... Heath was telling me about this, and I was like,
yeah, that tracks.
I was like, I don't.
He's the target demo for that.
Oh. Okay. Will Bitcoin hit 100K before you can bet before December or before January? Yes or no?
It's at like 99.5 right now.
So
I would say almost certainly yes.
It might have already hit December or before January?
Before December. It's going to happen. It's the 22nd right now. I think it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's an 82% chance. So if you bet 100, you only make like $16. But if you bet no, if you bet like $100 and say no, you could win $525. Then there's like,
these guys who are
will the Joe Rogan experience fall from the number one spot this year? Yes or no?
For how long? For one week? For one
year,
day?
Just this year. 10% chance that it would happen.
Dude, these bets need way more qualifications. Because what does that mean? Fall from
I
want to
do
one spot?
More. Like, will Moana 2 Rotten Tomato score? Will Moana 2 be above 80, above 85, or above 90? That's such an interesting bet.
Yeah, but then people could just brigade the site and like bet for something, and then send a bunch of bots to
rate
it.
Rotten Tomatoes, they're usually like the critics. I think they're focusing on the critics one. There's audience score and critics score.
Oh, they're focusing on just the critic score?
Yeah. Grammy Song of the Year, like Birds of a Feather, 42% chance.
You can bet on the Grammys?
Yeah, you can bet on the Grammys. Oscar for Best Picture. Will it be Anora, The Brutalist, Dune Part 2? Like... It's pretty, but people are saying, yeah, like search or Angelina Jolie, a 75% chance that she'll be best actress for the Oscars, which
what
I'm
movie
like,
was she even in?
Or this is Oscar nominations for best actress. This is Angelina Jolie, Saoirse Ronan, Zendaya, Emma Stone, Lady Gaga.
Because they haven't announced the nominees
right.
yet.
So
I don't, are you, I mean, are you going to start placing bets on pop culture, Matt?
Probably not. But then I thought it would be fun just to do one. To see if it would hit.
That's how they get you. And then you're like, oh, see, I got
buddy,
it right.
Buddy, I'm very cynical about
betting.
Yes, gambling, okay. All of that. You know me.
I mean, it's like an epidemic in a lot of the country right now. A lot of people are losing their fucking heads on these sports betting apps alone. It's crazy that they're like any. If you ever watched a sporting event recently, every commercial is DraftKings and
yeah.
whatever the
Have
other
you
ones
ever
are.
Bet on a sports game? Do you know what a parlay is?
I always see it. I probably should know what it is.
Parlay is basically you bet on like two things that are going to happen.
Let it ride.
I'm
going
to bet that
one.
The Cowboys are going to win, and I'm going to bet that the Green Bay Packers are going to like lose that game.
So you have to bet
in order
two
to
bets.
Win, those two bets both have to hit, and there can be like multi like level like parlays.
And I'm assuming the more you include in your suggestion, the higher your payout is.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just, I don't know, man. It seems so. We work hard for our money. Why would you give it to like a company? Like, it's just, I don't know. It's insane.
Okay.
Have you ever bet on sports?
Casually with like friends. Yeah. And I've won every sports game I've ever betted on.
That's a pretty good hit rate. 100%?
100%.
How much in dollars did that equal to?
$50. You know how many games it was?
One.
One game. It was one game.
Okay. Yeah. So that's like, those are pretty good odds then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I would bet on what Adam does is he bets against the team that he wants to win.
So he gets a little something out of it.
Yeah. He's either happy that his team won and he's happy to lose the $20, or if his team loses, hey, I made $40.
That's a great way to look at it.
That's how we,
cause like you, in a way you like paid for them to win, like, or you,
yeah.
you could say like, yeah, I paid $40 to like help them win
yes.
in a way.
And or you get the satisfaction of them winning is worth more than the $20.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
So he bets against the team. Yeah. But he's still upset either way because it's like, it does. It sounds good in practice, but then if the team loses, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess I got an extra $40, $100. But then if they win, it's like you didn't need to bet against them.
I'm always fascinated by horse racing.
That seems fun.
But like the odds are like, what? They're just horses running.
I know, but it's fun.
Okay.
That seems like a fun day. A day at the tracks.
Yeah. Have you ever been?
No, but I would love
never
to go.
I've been to so many horse races.
That
you got to bet on win, place, show.
Win, place, show. Show can, third place? Or show is fourth place, I guess?
Yeah, that they're in like the top four.
Because it's
so
first,
you're betting one that they're going to win. You can bet another bet that they'll at least place
second
in
or
the
third.
Top three. And then show is like, I believe, just like placing in the top four maybe. Or you're betting on its placement for place. Like I bet it will get second, third, or first. And then the show is that.
Are you doing research beforehand? You're just looking at the odds.
You can look at the odds, but sometimes I just like to do random. Because
like
usually
the
a random
is.
One will do really well. That's how I see it.
How many horses are in a horse race?
I don't know. I would say 12, 8, 18, no, 12 horses.
12 horses. Any other animal sounds you could do?
I love doing like a bird sound like...
Whoa.
What about that? Can you do any?
The first one was pretty good. I can do this one, though. It's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
How did you learn the first bird one?
This one? I don't know. I just kind of did it one day.
You didn't, that wasn't a YouTube video or a...
No, I mean, it's just whistling.
Older
but you're
kid.
Just, but you're like chopping it up a bit. Like
I'm not going to practice it right now. But
like that, but...
That's really good, dude. That's what my alarm sounds like in the morning. Do you do that Apple alarm?
Mine's like the... Dun, dun, ding, dun, 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 dun. And it gets a little louder, louder, louder.
You sleep mode?
Sleep mode?
Yeah, it's one of the focus modes. And then your alarm... gradually increases in volume.
I think that's already like in the alarms, is that it starts soft and then it just gets louder and louder and louder.
When you open your phone in the morning, it'd say like, good morning, it's 65 degrees today.
No, I don't really. If it does, I just swipe right past that and I see who texted me. I'm not like, oh, is my phone saying like good morning to me?
I like seeing it. It's like a little, good morning, sir. Here's your weather for the day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Do you sleep with your phone in the bedroom?
Sure. Charging in my nightstand between like my bed and the nightstand. It's like.
Within arm's reach?
Sure, I could reach down. I don't see it, but it's just down like in the corner.
But you get the bet. You're looking at the phone before your feet hit the ground. We'll be right back after a quick word from today's sponsor, ZocDoc. Now, there are some things in life that are okay to be a total crapshoot, like trying a new type of milk in your coffee. Maybe you're an almond guy and you're trying oat. Not a big deal. Or if you're rolling the dice with a new workout class, you did abs yesterday, maybe you'll try arms and legs today. These are very basic crapshoots. It's not a big deal. It's fine. But finding the right doctor should not be a total crapshoot. And with ZocDoc, it's not, because you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors, choose the right one for your needs, and click to instantly book an appointment.
We're talking about in-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, eye care to skin care, and much more.
You can filter for doctors who take your insurance, who are located nearby, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and who are highly rated by verified patients.
And you can also see their actual appointment openings, choose a time that works for you, and click to instantly book a visit.
Plus, ZocDoc appointments happen fast, typically within just 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same day appointments. Mike and I both use this, and you should too. It has helped us so much.
So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hoot to find and instantly book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOOT. ZocDoc.com/hoot. Check them out. Use our link. Book yourself a doctor appointment. And now back to the episode.
Sometimes, yeah, usually I like pull it out just to answer some text, see what's going on. I do the Wordle or the
connections.
The Wordle connections I don't do anymore, man. Oh. I've been more into Cinematrix and Movie Grid.
Cinematrix
and Movie Grid are basically the same game. Cinematrix is done by, I believe, Variety Magazine, and Movie Grid's its own website. It's a 3x3 grid on the. What the Y axis or whatever, we got actors.
Okay.
And then on the X axis, we got categories. So categories could be Oscar nominated film, a movie with like two words, and maybe a movie with a double letter, or a movie that came out between 1990 and 2010 or something like that. And it'll be like Emma Stone, Angelina Jolie, and Liam Neeson. And you got to guess them all.
And each there's one actor per answer? Or it's like, what movie has all three of these actors in it?
Sometimes they'll have a little fun. I actually would prefer which one has these two people together. But no, most of the time it's...
That sounds pretty fun.
It is pretty fun. Me is it and like Megan do it. Me, Megan, and Matt Grippy, we really want to do Jeopardy Pop Culture. We missed the deadline to enter as like a trio. But Jeopardy Pop Culture is now a new version of Jeopardy that's hosted by Colin Jost.
Whoa.
And you go in as a team of three, only pop culture questions. Only pop culture.
This sounds amazing.
I know. And Megan was the one who reached out to me and was like, do you want to do this? And I was like, yes. And then I recruited Matt Grippy.
Why don't we should email the guy that we know from Jeopardy and see if we can get you in the list there.
Yeah, I know. I think it was around like the summertime when it was happening, and we were all like texting, wouldn't it be fun? And then we just didn't make it happen. But now that the season is about to come out in early December, we're also going to study and watch the show.
Oh,
but
to like learn how.
I feel like, yeah, we'd have a good connection. I also feel like us three look like such a good trio.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice.
Our only concern is that our weakness is sports. But it's pop culture. But the thing is the only is overlap culture would be like, who, what famous NFL football player did a famous sponsorship with,
Taco Bell.
Yeah, like, oh, it's maybe. Peyton Manning. Like, it would be something like
that. I'm excited to watch that, too. We should do a little watch party.
Yeah, absolutely. I would. Sorry we didn't recruit you, but I just feel like
I would not do well at that at all. Yeah. If you want to do obscure mid-2000s band trivia, I could do that.
Yeah, but, right?
But not...
Do you feel a certain type of way owning a Tesla now with like Elon Musk?
Thank you for saying it on camera. Our lovely producer here just asked us that question.
I totally took that. Thank you.
It's a great question. I have been kind of an Elon hater for like the last, I don't know, since the rescue diving thing. Do you remember that?
Of over OceanGate or the kids who were trapped in the...
No, the kids who were trapped in the cave.
Oh, yeah. And he harassed one of the rescue divers, called him a pedo.
Yes.
And that even doubled down on it on Twitter.
I only knew Elon as this is what, 5-6 years ago at this point. Like, I thought he was just this cool guy, made a cool rocket company, made a cool car company. That's the end of it. And then when he tweeted that, I was like, what the fuck is that? That's insane. Like, this guy is a professional diver who is going to rescue these kids. And Elon never delivered on the diving thing. And then ever since then, it like kind of clicked. Like, maybe Elon is not the guy that he's presenting him out to be. And over the last few years, I've just noticed, like, it's clear as day now how just, A, stupid he is. B, kind of evil he is. And C, purely just cringe and only cares about, like, his own person. Like, he just wants to be cool so bad. And he's just such divorced dad loser energy. And people are still buying into it, which is really insane. But yes, I have a Tesla. I bought it because I think at the time that I bought it, it was the best car. Now I'm very thankful and grateful that like every other car company is making really cool electric vehicles that are basically making Teslas not the best car at all anymore. Like Porsche, Kia, who else? Hyundai, Rivian, like Mercedes, Audi, all these companies are making way fucking better cars. So when I have the R2, the Rivian,
yes.
2026, I have my reservation. I put it down the day it came out.
There's an R3?
The R3 is like the little one that looks like...
I like that one.
That one is sick too, but they haven't released a pre-order for it. So like the day that the R2 came out, I put a pre-order for the Rivian and I don't want Tesla to fail yet because I still own one, but I hope like in the next, I don't know, 10 years, once everyone who currently has one will be able to get rid of it, I hope Tesla just fucking like
tanks?
Goes down. Yeah,
okay.
Fuck him. Or I will say I hope Elon Musk gets booted from the company because he's just lied since the beginning. He didn't even start the company. It was these two guys and he used his PayPal money to buy his way into the company and then paid them for the right to say that he was a founder of Tesla. Mm-hmm. He didn't even found the company. So like, it's a little cringe to drive the car. I don't like posting about it. I don't really like talking about the fact that I have one. And there's like bumper stickers now that people will buy where like, we bought it before we knew he was crazy. And like, I don't know if I want to like put that on my car, but people will make license plates. Elon sucks. And there's in California, there's so many of them that it's like, it's not that cringe, but I feel like if I lived in, I don't know, like Massachusetts or some like super blue place in like a really democratic neighborhood, it might feel a little cringe. But at the same time, it's like you got to pick and choose your battles. Tesla did do a lot of good by making people aware of EVs and making like electric vehicles a very cool thing. But the second I can get rid of it, I will not be looking back. And like, I'm the biggest fucking Elon Musk hater. I hope Twitter goes down. Are you on Blue Sky yet?
What's Blue Sky?
Oh, Matt, fuck your Twitter. I know you just got it back. Everybody has left Twitter. Everybody cool. Hank Green, all these people like CNN, every big company, every scientist, every artist, not every, but a majority are moving to Blue Sky, which is basically an exact replica of Twitter, but it's all open sourced and has like way better features. Everyone is super fucking nice.
Are there ads?
No, not yet. I don't think so. And if there are, I think it'll be like you can tailor the feeds to make your own algorithm. So like on Twitter, you can't control anything. If you want to see no politics on Twitter, you can't. But on Blue Sky, you could be like, I just want to see art. And you click an art feed and then you're just seeing art.
Oh, cool.
Or just science. And it's all open source. So even if Blue Sky, the company, like goes down.
I hate the name.
Blue Sky?
Yeah.
Twitter, X.com.
Oh, no. X.com's bad. Twitter was great.
Twitter was fine.
I just think Blue Sky sounds like a health insurance or like some type of like Wi-Fi that I got to connect to. Or yeah, it sounds like I'm on like United Airlines and I need to connect to their internet hub.
Forget the name. I would strongly suggest getting on Blue Sky. It's like so pleasant on there. It's just everybody that like used to make Twitter cool and fun and funny and interesting is now there. And they, I think they've grown like 20 million followers since the election. Okay. So they're doing really fucking well. And there's just no like, there's
what,
no.
What about Threads? Why can't Threads be that?
They dropped the fucking ball. Why didn't Skype fucking take over when COVID hit and Zoom took, Skype had a 15 year head start.
Yeah.
And immediately everyone was using Zoom. Some of these companies, they like Threads, I don't know, it just kind of sucks. It's like,
yeah,
there's more features on Blue Sky. And this was the other thing, that because they're open source, if something ever happens to like the website, the way that their code is written is that you could just take your followers and port it to another version of Blue Sky, and everybody that would create an account at the new place like follows you there too. It's very cool. So it can't be like bought or changed by a billionaire. They call themselves.
What does the logo look like? I'm so curious.
I don't really know.
Like, does it?
But it's making the rounds. They're like, their CEO is doing stuff on CNN, and they're like, I don't. I've been on Blue Sky for, I don't know, a week or two now, and when I go on Twitter,
it's like
I'm just
a butterfly.
Like, yes,
it looks like MSN.
Dude, going back on Twitter.
Oh yeah, it looks just like Twitter.
I mean, it's like exactly the same.
Wow.
But after being on this for like a couple days, you go back on Twitter and you're like, oh my god, I feel like it's just this so mean and full of bots and like evil fucking people. So
New York Times is already talking about it today. Blue Sky is turning into a strong X alternative.
Yeah, not too many anti-Semites or racial slurs or, you know, bots or like, yeah, it's way better.
Yeah.
And I think Twitter, I mean, Twitter is just unusable at this point. It's garbage. So I'm very glad there's a new, I hope Blue Sky makes another Instagram too, like a photo sharing app that's just like the old school Instagram, just photos for you and your friends as like a photo album. And because we don't really have that anymore. Now it's all.
When was the first time you got on Twitter? Like, you know how there's like a number assigned to like your Twitter, like on.
I had to get a second one, but I probably got Twitter like 2008.
Oh, wow.
I was on it real fucking early.
In college, yeah, like fall of 2010. I think dad was all about Twitter in the beginning.
It was really good.
Microblogging. He was like, "It's microblogging, 140 characters."
It was really good at the time. It was just nothing like it existed.
Does your dad tweet?
No. Yeah. My dad he's on Facebook and TikTok.
Okay.
He sends me links to like facebook.com/, like he goes on the Safari Facebook and on his phone.
Oh boy.
And he'll send me like guitar videos of like, look at this guy. Uh-huh. God bless him. But yeah, Blue Sky. I would highly recommend you get on there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Hoot and Half, everybody.
No, it's already gone.
we'll come back. Well, you're going to be gone for
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, and then you're back. And then we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. We sure have a lot to do.
If you're not following Matt on Instagram, follow Matt on Instagram.
Please go follow me on Instagram. Follow me on TikTok. All of it. And maybe Blue Sky. I'll be signing up for that right after this.
Yeah.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, please like it. Please go leave a comment. And please go leave a review. Your support means the world. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
If this is still out there.
Oh, yeah.
And have yourself a happy holidays. Hopefully it's all good. Take care of yourself.
Bye.